There's just something about the celebration of Christ and the new birth. Although you get outside and things kind of get crazy. I don't know how many of you have been out driving around or doing some shopping in the last 2 days. I know I have been. Now, I don't think I'm a last-minute person, but just some last items. And so I was out in the traffic, and I couldn't believe the amount of people. But what amazes me is how people can miss the star of the show, A Star is Born. I entitled this, A Star is Born, A Sold-Out Gig. And I thought, I'm going to change that sold-out gig part. A Star is Born, Here's Your Sign. I think that fits better because I was walking to, I won't say the Star, Target the other day, and I was buying some gifts for some children that we were helping out. And I bought just tons and tons and tons of these little Hot Wheel cars. And as I was going through the line, I mean, just piled it up there. And the gal looked at me. She looked down. She looked at me again. She said, "So, you doing some Christmas shopping?" And I so wanted to say something. But being the reserved person I am, I kept my mouth shut. Bought it, went home, and Susan said, "Oh, we need some more. There's more kids at this school that we're going to try to bless, some more boys. You need to get some more Hot Wheels." So I went back, and I bought pretty much, I think I bought the store out of Hot Wheels. So if you've been to Target and there's no Hot Wheels, we bought them. And I went back, and I got what was, at least I think what was at least left of this huge pile of them. And I went back up, same gal. And I thought, well, this is good. Okay, thank you, Lord. And she says to me, "Oh, look, you're doing some more shopping. Stocking stuffers?" And I thought, you just can't resist. "No, I own my own car dealership. We're downsizing." I mean, "Here's your sign." I mean, I just couldn't believe that she's doing this. It's like, of course I'm Christmas shopping. I just couldn't help it. It's amazing how people can miss things in our world. I went to Toys R Us years ago with a couple kids in my youth group, and all the boys wanted to have a big water gun war, so they gave me this before airsoft and paintball. So we gathered up about $400, and the boys sent me down, before Toys R Us even opened here, sent me down to Mount Clemens to Toys R Us. There we are, and we're shopping. We're having the best time in the world. And, of course, me and two teens, you know, we couldn't help ourselves, so we start trying out all the guns. So we're going through the store, and we're having wars. I'm hiding up in the, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I'm hiding up in the stuffed animal area with some kind of army helmet and a gun, and here comes two of the kids in my youth group in a shopping cart. One guy's got a whistle thing and a gun, and the other guy's pushing him. And they're going, "Wee, wee, wee." And I'm thinking, oh, here they come. And I bust out, toys fly everywhere, and I shoot them, and they crash. I'm thinking, we're going to get kicked out of here. We went back to try out some new guns. And we're standing there, and this kid comes up, and he tugs on my shirt. And I turn, and here's this little boy, this little ankle biter, and he says, "Mister, can I be on your team?" And I said, "No, get out of here." It was great. We were having the best time. And I got to the counter, and we found all these water guns, $400 worth of water guns in two shopping carts. And we were going to take it back, about 20 guys, 20, 30 guys, and we were going to play up in the woods up in Croswell where we lived, and we were going to have a big water gun. And the lady says to me, as we're unloading it, she looks at me, and she does it. She says, "Oh, you guys going to have a water gun fight?" I didn't think of it then, but I sure thought of it now. I thought, you know, now with the whole "here's your sign" thing, I didn't say anything. I just went, "Sure." But at the time, it would have been, "No, we're robbing a bank. I want to liquidate all my assets." I mean, of course we're having a water gun fight. Here's your sign. People just miss it. It's kind of like the idea of, somebody said the other day, honestly, they said, "Isn't it funny that Jesus was born on Christmas?" And I said, "Yeah, isn't that funny? What a coincidence." People miss it. Here's your sign. How about B.C. and A.D.? Split in time in half. That kind of means something. Here's your sign. Jesus came in and split time. People miss it that a star was born. And Jesus was born in us. And this morning, to share out of my heart the Christmas story of all the things that happened in the world, Jesus is born and we miss it. Now, I would have loved to have been there on that morning. Wouldn't you love a front row seat to that moment? Think about this, the star. And who gets tickets to the show? Shepherds. Yeah. Rock and and roll shepherds. They live among the rocks and they roll around in the sheep stuff. That's who gets a ticket. Now, the king's got an invitation too, but they don't get there for 2 years. And they show up at his house. I would love to have had tickets. I'm not the kind of person that gets tickets to big events. This is the event of the century. This is the event of events. This is the miracle of miracles. And who gets a ticket? A shepherd. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not fair. I don't get tickets to anything. Now, this is a pity party, so if you want to get me tickets to anything, listen. I tried to get tickets to the World Series when Detroit made it this past summer. I was so excited. The Detroit Tigers, the World Series. I'm going. Now, I'm not the kind of person that somebody just walks up to and says, oh, we're going to put you right behind the dugout. I mean, those tickets are expensive. And I thought, I'm going to get a ticket. And so I went to get a ticket to what, in Michigan, was the event of the century, the World Series. And I thought, okay, game one, game two, okay, I'm going to try to get tickets to game seven. Those have got to be inexpensive. So I went on eBay. And I placed a bid on tickets. There were tickets all over eBay. These were outfield tickets. And I put a bid down on one ticket because that's all I thought I could even try for. And I thought, I'll tell my wife after. It depends on what I get it for. I put a bid down of $800 on one ticket to the outfield, to the World Series. As a boy, I grew up and I've been to the World Series. I've seen the Oakland A's. My dad took. I don't know how he got me in there. You got to be somebody to get somewhere. And I guess I wasn't somebody because my bid was gone like that. And I kind of click, bid. I couldn't hit the click bid thing fast enough to up my bid. And people were bidding higher and higher. And this thing just kept going. I said, I'm done. And I was not even close to the bid for game seven, which never even happened. That's how crazy it is. To really get tickets, you could have gone on there. They were about $10,000 for good seats for the World Series. Recently, the Rose Bowl, Michigan's going to the Rose Bowl. My brother-in-law's going, and I think he needs some spiritual guidance. He should be taking me to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. I think they're flying out tomorrow. And I looked to see how much tickets were for the Rose Bowl. I thought that would be a fun event. I'm just not the kind of person that gets into places. I think we live in a world that has a party system. There's the haves, and then there's the knees. Okay? There's the have-nots, the ordinary, average Joe from Michigan. That's me. I'm an average American Joe, okay? I live my life, and there are the party systems. 2 weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C., driving with a friend of mine, and we were coming through after a circle of doing some youth events, and I took him to the White House. He'd never been to the White House, and I said, why don't we just go up and say hi to George? We'll just go knock on the door and say, hey, I just want to have, let's have coffee together. And I don't think I would have got through the front gate. Now, I could have written him, I could have called out, I could have screamed out. I'm not the kind of person that the President of the United States is going to have coffee with, okay? I once met one of the Vice Presidents of the United States, Dan Quayle. My family met him. He was signing books. That's as close as I could get. And my son said, who's that? I said, the Vice President. He was more interested in other things as he was running around. That's as close as I can get. You see, now, if I were a super celebrity or a sports figure, he might invite me in for lunch just to talk to me. It probably happened. You see, we live in a world of the haves and the have-nots, and if I want front row seats to certain things, I've got to be one of the haves. That's just the way our world is. I'm not a have. I'm a have-not. And I'm okay with the have-not because what I found is Jesus Christ steps into time, splits it in half, and says, those of you that have not, I'm going to turn the system back upside down. Actually, he turns it right side up. You see, at the very beginning of time, God said, it doesn't matter who you are, everyone can come to me. And God says, you don't have to be a king, you don't have to be rich, and you don't even have to be perfect to come to me. I'm God, and I'm going to make it possible. And here's what happened. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, messed everything up. He says, I'm going to create a party system. I'm going to create pride, lust, and greed. And he goes to Adam and Eve, and he does this. And everything is turned upside down. And we lived in a world, and we inherited a world that was upside down. There's those who have and those who don't have. And you know what's amazing about those who have in our world? Like, you see this with whether it's a movie star or a superstar. They'll walk into a restaurant. Now, they've got millions. They can afford a lunch. And people say, oh, no. We're just so glad to have you as our guest. You don't have to pay for this. This is on the house. Here's the best seat in the house. Now, you walk in and you say, well, I'm Mitch Olson. I'm not paying for this meal. Oh, sir, you are not leaving this building until you do. Can I have a nice seat? Well, we're kind of busy tonight. Listen, if you're a have, you can walk into places and you're going to have more. If you're a have not, you walk into places and you're just going to hope for a seat. I would love to have had a ticket. I would have loved to have the seat of the century to have seen the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I don't know what that was like, but a bunch of shepherds, a bunch of have-nots, Jesus comes and He turns the whole thing right side up. He says, now, if you want to be first, you got to be last. Well, that doesn't make any sense, not in our world, right? You want to be great, you got to be least. I like that. I said that to one of my kids. I said, you want to be great? They said, you got to be worse. I said, well, okay, not the one I'm looking for. You want to be the greatest? Be the least. You want to be rich? Be? Give it away. Absolutely. Jesus comes and He turns the whole world upside down, and I love it because those of us who couldn't ever have a place in seeing things like this now get front row seats to the events of the century. And now God has turned everything right side up again. And you know what's happened? Sadly, the world hasn't changed. Are you ready for this? Sometimes the church has turned that right back around again. Now, this isn't a blight on the church because I think the church as a whole, the heart of God is right within the church. But I just want to say, church, are you ready for this? You get to have the front row seat to anything that God has. God wants you to step right on up and have the miracle of miracles happen in your life. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Jesus said this. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote it. He said, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or if you're a Greek. It doesn't matter if you're black or if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're a slave. It doesn't matter if you're free. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. All are one in Christ Jesus. That's good news this morning. That's the best news I've ever heard. It doesn't matter what Mitch Olson has or has not. It doesn't matter what Mitch Olson has done or hasn't done. Jesus said, Mitch, you get to step up to the plate. You get to come and experience the miracle of Jesus Christ, the birth of a miracle. And 25 years ago, God had a birth in my heart, the miracle of Jesus Christ. And this guy who was a have-not now is a guy who has. The guy who was last in everything is now first. The guy who is poor is now rich in Christ. The guy who is worth nothing gets to be great in God. Do you understand what God has done in your life? God has said, listen, it doesn't matter. I'm turning things right back up for everyone. And it all happens in a miracle. Now, in your Bible, in Matthew, if you have your Bibles, you want to open up. In Matthew chapter 2, here's the haves and the difference between the have-nots that we heard read earlier by Amy. The shepherds came, but here's the wise men. And it says in Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen His star, and a star has been born. And I want to let you know that people are looking for a miracle. These kings were looking for a miracle in their life. They had everything they could possibly want. Can I tell you, I don't know about you, but I find it interesting that people who have everything they want are still not satisfied with everything that they have. Does that make sense? You can have everything that you want and still not be satisfied with everything that you have. Not that having things is bad. I'm not preaching that having things are sin. I'm saying you can have everything and still not be happy with anything. What I find is equally amazing is those who have nothing are completely satisfied with that. And it tells me that everyone is looking for the same thing, whether they have or they have not. Everyone's looking for a miracle this Christmas. The world is looking for a miracle. I'm looking for a miracle in the Middle East. I'm looking for some of your sons and daughters to come home. We pray for them always. I was with a young man who's in the Navy last night. He's home for a week and he came by to see us. And I look forward to when he doesn't have to go away to Iraq or Afghanistan. I have two sons that both talk about being in a Marine or a Navy SEAL, respectively. And I think of North Korea. And I think of Iran, and I think of nuclear weapons and plutonium. I think of a world that my sons may step into in the next 4 or 5 years, and they may be overseas like some of your sons and daughters. And I pray for a miracle. I have people in my family who don't know God, or they know who He is, but they walked away from Jesus. And like you, I pray for a miracle, because I know the older I get, the faster time goes. You ever notice that? I told my son driving over here this morning to set up and do some stuff. I said, "Son, you're 15. Can you believe you were born in 1991? And it's the year going to be in a week, 2007. 2007. I said, "Can you believe it's here? It's gone." I said, "Son, I want to tell you something in life that's important. The clock doesn't change, and we're talking about this next week. Let me just give you a little teaser for next week. You'll want to come next week. I've noticed that the clock is definitely still 24 hours, but the older I get, the faster it goes. And I don't know if Einstein had a theory for this, but it's true. And I said to my son, make the most of the opportunity. And I know one day, just like that, people will be standing over a pile of dirt, and there'll be a wooden box, and I will be in that box, at least in my body, but my spirit will be with the Lord. I know that day is coming. Do I anticipate it? With all of my heart. And I live each day and cherish it, because these days are so important, and we'll talk about this next week. But know this, if these days are so important, I have a wish. And one of my wishes for a miracle this Christmas is those that I love the most will find Jesus Christ, so that for all of eternity, I will see those that I love. See, I don't want to spend a year without my mother and father. I don't want to spend a decade without my kids, a week without my children. But the idea that they could go without God, I want a miracle. I know you want a miracle. We all want miracles. I hope you want a miracle. I want a miracle for a church building. That would be wonderful. I want a miracle in Port Huron where 90% of the people in this community say, yes, we may even believe in God, but 90% of them won't go to church except for maybe the C&E Club, Christmas and Easter. And, you know, wish everybody a happy Easter because that's, you know, Merry Christmas. I know this community could use a miracle. I know economically that we could all use a miracle in our finances. That God, just please, I need a miracle. And if there were a time for a miracle, it would be now. Because of the miracle of miracles, today God gives us a front row seat. We get to sit and see a baby has been born. That God reached down from heaven and actually came to us, to us. He came to us, you and me, to shepherds. I'm thinking, I'm just an ordinary guy. What a great story. What a great thing. And what I find is, I was in the hospital the other day, and I found a family that could really use a miracle. And I walked out of there, and as I was walking to my car, I just started to cry. And I didn't cry because they need a miracle. I cried because I realized how much I want a miracle. And then I thought, I wonder how much tomorrow morning when I get to church, you want a miracle in your life. Miracles happen every day. And I guess if we're talking about getting a ticket to the show, you and I get to be the lights, the camera, and the action to the miracle. You see, God said in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world. You are the star. So lights, be the light of God. A star still shines today, and you get to be the light of God. It tells us in 2 Corinthians that God says, I have placed the light of my love inside of your heart so that you might shine for the world to see. You see, there's still a star that leads people to the miracle. There's still a star that leads people to the baby Jesus. Although He's not a baby, He's still got the miracle. You can be the star that people can find the miracle in. Will you be the star? Will you be the person that people look to and say, there are still miracles today, and I find it in you? Maybe you can help connect that. Maybe you can bring it together. I still think there's a light today. George Bush, Sr., I remember when, as president, he had a program he initiated. Some of you may remember. It was called the 1,000 Points of Light. And his goal was to get all these initiatives of people doing good things around the United States to be part of this organization of the 1,000 points of light. You're a point of light. You're tutoring a child in the inner city. You're a point of light. You're a big brother or big sister. You're a point of light. You're helping build homes for Habitat. You're a point of light. You are all God's points of light. You're the star that people go, I've seen a star. You get to be the star. God has placed it within your hearts. Be the star. The Magi were looking in verse 2. It says, we saw the star and we have come to worship. When people see your life, will they say, we have seen a star. We've seen a light. We want to worship that. Do people want what you have? Can I tell you something? I don't know about you, but I want to be so contagious that when people get around me, they're going to get it, whether they want it or not. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. Here, the flu bug's going around. My family has had it, okay? My son, right in the middle of a wrestling tournament, didn't get to go, and even though he qualified for one of the biggest wrestling matches this year so far, he was so sick, and I thought, oh boy, here it comes. He's the first. And sure enough, boom, by Tuesday, there were three of us down. By Wednesday, it hit the fourth one. You see, because you know what? We're a family. We're around each other. We're close. And the more we're around each other, the more the opportunity that somebody's going to get sick. It happens. Can I tell you, if Jesus Christ is contagious in you, if you got it, you got a fever for God, you're burning for the Lord, He's got a fire within you, you're going to get around people and people are going to get around and go, ooh, that's warm. Oh, great. I got it too. I want it. And here we go. You see, it's like a common cold. You get around people and you sneeze on them, they're going to catch it. And you can be the light of God leading people to worship, just like the Magi. It says, we saw a star. Now, I don't know about you, but I want people to see my life and go, now there's a miracle waiting to happen. I want to be a part of that. I want that to happen in my life. Be the light. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, there's a light here. Here, I'll just stand in this light. I'm standing in the light. That's what 1 John 1:7 says. It says, if we are in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. So I'm walking in the light. You see, if we're going to be the light of God, then we need to walk in the light. Now here's the problem. The light moves. See, you've got to walk in the light. It says to walk in the light. You know what happens with many Christians? They get in the light. Oh, thank you, God. I've experienced a miracle for myself. And God says, good, now let's start walking. And that's how He leads us. He leads us by moving the light, and we walk in the light. Oh, there's the light there, and we walk in the light. If we stop walking in the light, and the light's moving, we're in. It's so simple that even a child could understand. And so we've got to walk in the light. Walking in the light means I need to be active in my faith. You know what happens when we start walking in the light? I love this. The action part of lights, camera, action happens. If we walk in the light, I'm walking the light. I'm following God. I'm following His light. He's leading me. And other people are over here and they're praying for a miracle. God, would You perform a miracle in my life? God, I need this desperately. God, financially, I can't make it. God, I'm not making it. And the next thing you know, you're walking in the light and they're praying to a God of light. The Bible says God is light, in Him there dwells no darkness. As you're walking in that light, over there, and this person is praying in their darkness, in their in everything, and they're saying, God, please help me. God, please help me. You know what's going to happen? Somewhere along the line, the prayer and the miracle are going to meet. And that's how it happens. That's how miracles happen every day. You're walking in the light and God's leading. You're like, I don't understand why You're taking me here. Yesterday, God took me to a place I didn't understand. I got a phone call. I was busy finishing up my shopping, printing books at the print shop for our leadership retreat. I was so swamped thinking, I just want to get home and begin Christmas with my family. The kids are home. Oh, I've been here for hours printing. I've got a couple more things I need to buy. The traffic is getting crazy. I don't know about you, but outside of Staples, somebody told me it took them a half an hour to get from Staples across the street. And I'm in this thinking, and my phone rings. My cell phone rings. And I didn't pick it up. I thought, I'll get it later. They can leave a message. I picked it up and the message was, hi, my father's in the hospital. We're in the emergency room. But that's not what I need you for, Pastor. If you could call me back, his girlfriend's granddaughter is in the hospital in ICU in a coma. And I thought, I don't even know who this person is, the girlfriend's granddaughter. That's so far removed. A church person's father, I can go pray for that. I'd certainly have time for that. I should do that. And I'm thinking my family, right? I'm thinking my family. And I'm trying to walk in line and say, okay, God, I'm doing your will here. I just want to go home and get with my family. I call back and leave a message. Call me. I don't know what hospital you're talking about. You didn't leave that. Please let me know. The phone comes back, and while I'm making copies, I didn't catch the message. So another voicemail, and it's, I'm at Port Huron Hospital in the ICU. If you can find me, if you can make it. A pastor did come by and prayed with the family. So they're set. But if you want to come by, you can come by. If not, I understand. And I'm thinking, perfect. They understand. I'm going to go home, be with my family. It's so easy to do that. And so I got in my car and I started driving home, and the traffic was thick. And I found myself going right by my street, right down past the bridge, and right to the hospital. I called my wife. I said, what do you think? I said, you know, I know they don't want to put a lot of burden on our family at Christmas, but you know, if I don't go, it's, well, the pastor didn't make it. And I just want to, and I don't even know this family, and they're not even a family of the church. They're related to a relationship of one and a pastor's. She goes, whatever you want to do, I think you should go. I said, yeah, I'm actually down by the bridge. I'm almost there. I get there, I go up, I said, I'm just going to pop in, have prayer with this person from our church, and I'm out. So I go in, I'm up there, and I meet the grandmother. And she's on the phone with a family, with a doctor, a neurologist. And I'm getting bits and pieces. 15-year-old girl, pregnant, unmarried. Huh, sounds a lot like Mary. Not to compare it, but a 15-year-old girl who's scared and pregnant. 6.5 months pregnant. Wednesday, went to her mom and says, I'm having headaches. I don't know what to do. They took her to the hospital, but immediately she went into a coma. And the neurologist said she's brain dead. I got there when the neurologist said, actually, we found that it's not completely severed. It's just there's some activity, but we don't know how this. They took the child, 2 pounds, 9 ounces, by cesarean, and is down fighting for its life today at Children's Hospital while she's fighting for her life in Port Huron. And in that moment, I thought, okay, God, you have me here for a reason. And the grandmother, she took me back into the room surrounded by uncles and aunts and friends and other people and just people who had that look in their eyes of, what are we going to do? What kind of hope do you have when there's no God kind of thing? And I walked into the room. I said, hi, I'm a pastor. I'm here. And here's this girl laying there with tubes hooked in, 15 years old, unconscious, non-responsive. And I said, what's her name? Can I pray for her? And everybody said, absolutely, pastor. We have another pastor. He's going to pray. And I said, if anybody needed a miracle, and if there were time for a miracle, it's now. And so I went to lay hands on her. I said, what's her name? And they said, Kayla. And then it made sense. Kayla. I said, her name is Kayla. Yeah. And she's been in a coma for 3 days. And they said, yeah. When I first became a pastor, my sister called me. Her daughter, Kayla, went into a coma for 3 days. And God started to remind me. He said, what happened then? You needed a miracle, and a miracle happened. But it didn't happen the way you thought it would, but you had a miracle. And I said, I would love to pray for Kayla. And we gathered together, and we prayed heaven down in that room. And this family was tears and hugs and kisses and just thankful. And I walked out of that hospital, and I said, God, I need a miracle. If there were time for a miracle, it's for Kayla. And I said, can I share this with my church tomorrow? And they said, absolutely. I said, can I get 200 more people praying to heaven for this little girl? Absolutely. So we're praying for Kayla today at the end here. But as I looked at that, I said, God, you've got me walking in the light, because there's people in the darkness praying for a miracle, and somewhere you're going to bring the two together. And that's what Christmas is. It's people who have been walking in the darkness have seen a great light. And they came together and a miracle happened. That's what Christmas is. But your Christmas, it's not just Christ in Christmas. It's Christians, Christians in Christmas. You are a Christian, a little Christ. You are the light of God to the world. And let your light so shine before men and walk in the light as He is in the light. And let Him lead you, because there's miracles down the road that you can't even see, that you don't even understand, that God is bringing people in darkness and says, I'm going to bring the two together. And this week, I got an opportunity to deliver from you as gifts all over this community. I was in two schools. I wasn't Santa Claus, but I had my Santa hat on, and I took a couple little elf helpers. And we delivered 60 gifts to special needs kids. And the looks on their faces when I got to the schools, public schools, and on this big red bag full of gifts in each classroom that we'd fill it up, go out, fill it up, go to the next classroom, said, Pastor Mitch. It was a gift that somebody gave me a couple years ago. And so there I had my big tote bag, and I went in, and these little children, the look on their faces, and they kept saying, thank you, Santa Claus. We'll see you in a few days. Thank you, Santa Claus. The miracle was happening because you guys gave us the opportunity. We helped 17 families where the youth got to go and just love up Christmas Carol, deliver gifts to help. We are a part of a miracle. But sometimes we don't walk in the light. We stand in the light moves, and then we stand and say, Lord, why don't I see the miracles? And God says, because you quit walking with me, because you were in the light and the light's moving. Let me take you to places where darkness is going to find you, and you're going to find it, and light will come on. You see, lights, camera, and action have to go together in order for you to help other people have a front row seat to the birth of Christ. You get to bring people to the front row seats. It doesn't cost $10,000. It's better than the World Series. It's better than the pageant of the Rose Bowl Parade. It's Jesus Christ. Lights, camera, and action. You see, the world is watching. The world is watching you guys right now. And as I close, there we go. I'm just taking a video. I'm videotaping service today. It's my phone. Okay, the goofy bunch in the back. Yeah, I got you too. I'm taping we live in a world of camera. Lights, camera, action. We live in a world that's full of camera. People are always watching. Things are being taped everywhere. You walk through the stores, they're taping. They're always watching. Everywhere you go, people are taking pictures and cameras. The world is watching. We live in a world full of that. See, the world is looking for... they're looking for Jesus. And you can go down to the show, but guess what? He's not playing there. Now, this year they've got the Nativity. I think that's pretty cool. I think somebody figured out last time they made a Jesus movie, you can make $1 billion. That's true. He made $1 billion. Not bad for a movie on Jesus. I wonder how much he'll get. Maybe some souls. We live in a world that's always watching. We live in a world that people are taping. Do you know that people watch your life so much that psychologists tell us that 7 people today, on average, will make a decision based on you, the average American person. The average person influences 7 people a day. Now you say, how does that work? Well, they might say, man, that's a nice suit. I'm going to get a suit just like that. I like the way you wear a suit. Those glasses, I'm going to give me a pair of glasses like that. The way someone's mannerisms are. I remember when I was in college, a guy would come over and he'd shake my hand, always the same way, just a firm. He'd come up to me and he'd just give me this, how you doing? Just this firm handshake. And people, for a 19-year-old, people just didn't do that often. And I thought, I like that. When I shake people's hands, I'm going to do just like him. And I'll never forgive. Just a guy I shook hands with. Influenced my life. People who hug. Maybe you see someone that hugs, you say, you know what, I want to be like that. You influence, the average person influences 7 people a day. That's a lot of folks. That's about 100,000 people in a lifetime will make choices based on you. Let me ask this. What kind of choices are you giving them? You see, Jesus used to be a big thing in the United States. He used to play on all the big screens. You would never see a place even open on Sunday mornings, let alone Christmas Day. Now, why, that's one of the biggest shopping days now in the last 2 to 3 years. That has become huge. I just heard the other day, all the places, and even on the news, Channel 7 News, on the bottom of the ticker where the storm forecasts are, school closings? No. It's not school closings now. It's all the stores are going to be open on December 25th. You see, Jesus used to play on all the big screens. You could find him everywhere. You could find him in the courthouse. You could find him on the front lawns of public buildings. You could even find him in the schools. Jesus doesn't play on the big screen anymore. He plays in limited engagements. You are the limited engagement. He plays on your heart. The Bible says he's written. Paul says, we have a story. You are our story, written not with ink, but with the Spirit in your hearts. God has written a story. And people come up to you, and I close with this. You may be, and you probably heard this before, but you may be the first Bible someone may read. I love the monk Francis of Assisi. He said, preach always, and use words if necessary. People are watching your life. We live in a world where you get to be the light of the world. The camera, people are watching. And the action, walk in the light. And you can be a miracle in someone's life. Be a miracle this Christmas. Casey's going to come and close us just to play something. I want to read. I was thinking what my Christmas wish would be this year. We all have Christmas wishes. My wife asked me the other day, she called me on the phone, she's out in traffic, and she says, so what do you want for Christmas? I said, just come on home. I said, you know, honestly, I don't know. When I was a kid, I remember having lists. I don't know if it's because I'm older or maybe I'm content. There's really just not a lot I want. I think I have it. I really do. As far as things go. And then I got to thinking about it the other day. I was typing it, and I even put this on the website. I came up with my own Christmas wish. Go ahead, Casey. Here's my Christmas wish. Dear God, this year, I don't want a new watch or an old tie. Some of you can relate to this. I'm not asking that you help me pay off my credit cards or that I shouldn't have overused or for a big raise. I'm not looking for better gas mileage out of my six-cylinder that has 165,000 miles on it. No, Lord, this year, would you just let me have one thing? I pray that this one wish would come true. And that's for everyone to have the chance to have a front row seat to the event of a lifetime. I know if people could just see you the way those shepherds saw you and the kings did, it would be a silent night, a holy night. I can see why so many songs were written, why kings and kingdoms are impacted, why time had to be adjusted and even split in half so that all of the future would have to look back to you. And all of the past had to look forward. You are the subject of debates, divides, and decrees. Just the very mention of your name today incurs great passion, whether a believer or an atheist. People claim that you are extinct, exhilarating, exhausting, exalted, extraordinary, or exaggerated. I simply think you're misquoted, misunderstood, mistaken, or misrepresented. The world sees you as a lord, a liar, or a lunatic. With so much on the line, I would just ask that this year you would break through the incredible noise that must rise to your throne every day and just give the world an opportunity to have a front row seat. And begin it with me. I'll make sure this year that those who see my life will have a front row to the greatest event in history, the birth of Jesus again. The birth of Jesus in me. I hope they see that I'm born again. Once again, the star can shine down for the world to see. This time, the manger is a mangy creature from Port Huron. So that's it. Let the show begin. As we get ready for lights, cameras, and action, help us all realize that our lives may may be the first Bible someone may see. May my edition be a good one. And oh, by the way, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we do mean with all of our hearts. Let a miracle happen. Lord, I pray for a miracle for Kayla and her little baby. God, if there were ever a time that the world would see a miracle, maybe now, while they're a little bit more focused, maybe a little bit more aware, that more than a cliche, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Lord, let that cliche go beyond that. Would you touch that little girl in that hospital room? All of us in this room would ask for that miracle today. We pray together. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. And the God of peace, who passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God, go beyond our understanding and touch that little girl. But in this room, God, I pray that walking out of here are 200 plus people that are miracles, walking with light. And may we be intersected with prayers that have been asked for months, that people would get saved, that God, lives and hearts would be changed, that miracles and healing would happen. God, we pray for healing for bodies. People who have been in pain, that have been saying, God, if you're there, would you please heal me? Show me you're real. I pray, God, somebody in this room would be intersected and lay hands on someone and just put their arms around them and say, God heard your prayers, and I'm here to let you know I am here for you. God, for finances, there are people praying for not even huge things, but just, God, for jobs that they want to work, or just to pay off some bills that through circumstance. God, maybe someone in here would be the miracle for that family. Lead us to them. But most of all, God, may every one of us be the life of Christ being born out. Let our stars shine, that others might be led to find the Christ child. I love you this morning. And I thank you that you are a God of miracles and a God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Yes, you are holy. Until we come together, whether it's communion or for our families, my benediction is this. May the God of peace be with you in your homes today and tomorrow. And may He shine His light upon your families. And may every good thing happen in you. And the Father of heavenly lights, who is the Father of all good things, shine upon you. May He give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.